are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Trump blocks Gordon Sondland, the Ukrainian message boy, from testifying in Congress. It is on, ladies and gentlemen. New polls now show a majority of Americans, 58%, now support the impeachment inquiry. Meanwhile, Supreme Court of the United States starts its new term with possible assaults on women's sovereignty over their own body, attacks on DACA recipients, and on the rights of LGBTQ folks. Meanwhile, Joshua Brown, key witness in the Amber Guyer conviction killing Botham Jean, shot in the mouth in Dallas following his testimony. New NAFTA may pass in the wake of impeachment. Embedded in it, protections for drug makers, content makers that have nothing to do with trade. Meanwhile, China sneezes and the NBA is punishing the GM of the Houston Rockets for tweeting in favor of Hong Kong protesters. 40 AGs to probe Facebook for antitrust violations. And a judge says Betsy DeVos is on the brink of contempt for screwed over students of for-profit university. And lastly, how serious a problem is the Trump worship in the military? Hopefully we'll never know. All this and more on today's program, this very Tuesday, October 8th. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We will be doing a breakdown of the news today, as things are quite busy. Everyone is here. Michael is out because yesterday was Monday, and presumably he'll be back this evening for his show. Couple of house cleaning things to do. Tomorrow and the next day, Michael will be doing the fun half. I will be doing the first half interview. We've got a great interview tomorrow with Brad Miller, who is the former congressman from North Carolina, and he wrote a piece in the American Progress on the 40-year war that Bill Barr, the attorney general, has been waging over congressional oversight. And we get into, like, you know, how does this thing get resolved, and why was this not a problem 20 some odd years ago? And this is going to be a problem. We're going to get into impeachment in just a second. But before I forget, a couple of things. One, this tweet went out. I don't know. We haven't been able to confirm this, but people should check it out. GM has hired scabs from Black Horse to do UAW members' work. There's a new picket line. I think this is in Detroit, right? In Langhorn. Up in Langhorn. Michigan. 2201 Cabot Boulevard West.
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Oh, so Pennsylvania? Okay, sorry. Langhorn, Pennsylvania. 2201 Cabot Boulevard West. If you're in Langhorn, put the show on your phone. Go down there. Help out those GM workers. This thing has gone long, and it's going to go longer, I have a feeling. Yesterday, there was word that, you know, and it's very hard to know when you hear these pronouncements. Sometimes management will try and scare people. This thing could go on for a while. Also, I want to encourage you to go and sign up for our, like us on Instagram, follow us on Instagram. I'm still getting down the lingo of this whole internet social media stuff. Follow us on Instagram. It is majorityreport.fm. Don't know why we did that. I don't know why we did that.
It was Majority FM, and then you changed it.
Why didn't we just do Majority Report? Was that already taken?
I'm not sure.
Majorityreport.fm. Maybe we can change it again, but majorityreport.fm. Head over there. Wonderful picture of the morning meme is there from, I guess it was, who did that? Matt McCready? And it is a picture of Steven Crowder.
Old Cold Feet?
Yeah, Cold Feet Crowder and me in a as a butterfly. So I don't know, you can check that out. But here's the deal. When we get to 10,000 followers, and we're only about 1,400 away, we're doing the merch. That's it. Boom. I don't care what you say. I know there's been people who are like, please don't do any merch. And they've been saying that for 9 years. But forget it. We're going to do merch if we get to 10,000 Instagram followers. So do what you got to. Also, the AM Quickie. Go sign up for it right now. You can subscribe to it at amquickie.com. And you can subscribe to it on Stitcher. You can do it on Spotify. You can do it on iTunes. You can do it on your Alexa, wherever. AM Quickie, 5 minutes every morning. We will tell you the news, at least the headlines that you're going to need to know going into the day, so you're not surprised by anything, because you know, I know you don't like being surprised. And that's that. All right, let's get into this first. About a week ago, the Gavin Newsom, the California governor, signed the Fair Pay Bill, which is going to allow college athletes, and I'm not sure exactly what the specific parameters are, but the it will allow college athletes to get endorsement pay, to profit from endorsements, and I don't know if it requires anything else. But the NCAA is saying that the law is unconstitutional. I'm not exactly sure why that would be the case, but maybe they're talking about their own constitution. The bill has been signed, and here's a moment on Fox News Live with what's the woman's name? Sandra Smith and Bill Hammard, here with, Charles Payne. And Charles Payne, this is fascinating because, Charles Payne is really, really emotionally invested in this issue, which is great. I'm glad he is. The funny thing is what he attributes it to is not exactly Charles Payne, who has a show on Fox Business, may not be 100% clear on what a capitalist is.
It's story. This was an interesting perspective from that coach there.
Yeah, you know, and ironically, I think he says, though, that he does support the athletes even being paid. He thinks the governor shouldn't be involved. I don't know about this staying in your lane. That's a red flag for me when anyone tells somebody else to stay in their lane. I'm not sure if he thinks the governor shouldn't be looking out for everyone who lives in his state, including the homeless, including the underprivileged, and including kids who are going to college there. So I don't know that that's outside
well,
the lane.
His
the
point
governor.
Is, why are you focusing here when we've got a serious right. homelessness problem?
I think he could do more than one thing, right? I think he can deal with homelessness and say, by the way, you know, these kids who are at schools where the coach is making $5 million a year from wearing, Nike shoes, maybe they should get paid. A lot of them don't even eat.
So now we know where you stand.
Yeah, well, I'm a capitalist. And I believe, you know, when I hear people defend the status quo that I think is unfair, whether, you know, the people who came out and said they hated President Trump's trade tariffs battles mm-hmm. with China, although China's ripping us off, it's not the right way to go. They hate this idea.
Pause it for 1 second. I just can't let that slide by. You can be a capitalist and want people to get paid who are working for you. But it is not, your being a capitalist does not require you to demand fair wages. In fact, one could make the absolute argument, the absolute opposite argument, that in fact, it is the capitalist ethos that says, if we can get these folks to play for us for free and we can make money off of them, that's capitalism. That is capitalism.
It's a structural imperative.
It is. You need that dynamic. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, the capitalist storms into the room and says, I'm shocked to find that exploitation of labor is occurring in here.
Right, exactly. Now, you don't necessarily have to have slave labor to be a capitalist, but you need a delta between what you make off them and what they're making. That is capitalism. So to say that you're a capitalist and that's why you want them to get fair pay makes absolutely no sense. You can be a capitalist. You can say, I happen to be a capitalist who wants these players to get paid at least somewhat what they're worth, not totally what they're worth, but somewhat. But you cannot say the reason why I want them to be paid is because I'm a capitalist. Now, maybe Charles Payne doesn't know exactly what a capitalist is.
Defend the status quo that I think is unfair. Whether, you know, the people who came out and said they hated President Trump's trade tariffs battles with China, although China's ripping us off, it's not the right way to go. They hate this idea, although I do think players should get paid. It reminds me of the abolitionist movement in this country. I've studied it. I continue to study it. And so many, quote unquote, good people say, yeah, I'm against slavery, but now is not the time to fight it. You know, and if we...
Why is a full ride not enough, Charles?
It's not enough because...
Pause it for a second. Can I also just comment on Bill Hammard? There's something very odd about his behavior, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but he has that thing. Let's just... When you've got to do this thing where it's like your expressions, just listening, are so studied that you need to freeze... After you say something like that, it suggests to me something's up. I'm a little bit concerned about Mr. Hammer.
Why is a full ride not enough, Charles?
It's not enough because if I bring in $10 million and you give me $100,000 in value for it, it's unfair.
I'm 18. It's unfair. Getting a full ride to a great American university has given me another chance.
You can't make $5 million off of me and tell me, oh, in return, I'm going to give you a $50,000 education. It's not fair. It's just not fair. You're ripping these people off. They are being used and abused. Okay? Give them something because you are making millions off of them.
Yeah, so what's
that's
the price
usury.
Then? What do you pay them?
Pay him something more than zero. Pay him something more than zero. You are making millions off of them. Millions. Mm. It's an unbalanced relationship. Nobody in this building would work for less than they thought they were worth.
When I was 18 years old, if you came to me with a full ride for a scholarship, I'd be dancing.
Yeah, but if you could dunk the ball from the half court line and your coach made $5 million a year because you could do that.
Then I'd go to the NBA and I'd make even more money than you're talking about.
The bottom line is I think people should get paid for what they're worth.
You made your...
There you go. You know, there's nothing... Like, this is where I feel like what I should do is just quit this job and spend my entire time to develop a mechanism that can tell me what those Fox hosts are thinking as they keep their mouths quiet and watch something like that. Because you know they're going like, this is getting uncomfortable. He seems really passionate about making sure these people get paid. Weird. Super weird. And Hammard is just trying to, you know, maintain. But there it is. Good. I mean, I wish that someone like Charles Payne had the ability. Maybe he does. Maybe this is, you know, maybe this is one of those inciting events. Like Shep Smith, basically the inciting event was Katrina. He was on a bridge in Katrina. I remember this. Bill O'Reilly was saying like, they don't appreciate what's going on there. And Shep's just like, you don't get what's happening here. You don't understand it. And I think that's basically when Shep Smith decided like, I can't do this anymore. Maybe there'll be a moment where Payne realizes like, maybe I'm not so much of a capitalist, or maybe like there's something wrong with capitalism because it was structured under specifically a capitalistic principle. And it will be structured under capitalistic principle when these guys get chicken feed for what they're doing. And the idea that Bell Hammer thinks that these guys, you know, a small percentage of them will go into the NBA and the rest of them will have bodies that have been beat up by playing college sports. Some instances, you know, debilitating injuries for the rest of their lives. They will have had their studies largely, not all college athletes, but their studies largely ignored because their job is to go and play on that team. And so it is so overdue. It's unbelievable. Like this pretending that they're anything but professional athletes.
Yeah, it's a similar thing with grad students who teach classes, right?
Grad students that teach classes, and frankly, adjuncts too, for that matter. I mean, there's a whole series of these questions, and I think, frankly, you know, for grad students and adjuncts, it's gotten worse. It's been this bad for athletes, you know, forever.
And each time they renew a TV contract, it just looks worse and worse.
It looks worse and worse.
Well, welcome to the left, Comrade Payne.
There you go. Who knows? He could be sitting right next to us.
He seems like he's got a critique of neoliberalism.
Let's throw to our economics report. Folks, would you rather be busy or be productive? Here's how you can start making your work take less work and find the right software for you at Capterra.com/majority. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you to find the best software solution for your business. There's over a million reviews of products from real software users. You can discover everything you need to make an informed decision. You can look at 700 specific categories of software. 700 specific categories with a million different options. Doesn't matter. Everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management software. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. Join the millions of people who use Capterra each month to find the right tools for their business. Not only that, I bet for a lot of people, you go and you look under the category of what you do, you will find that there's actually software. I bet you there's a lot of people who do not realize there is specific software for their business. I've said this before. I've done it many times. I look through here just to find out like what people do for livings. Like in other, you know, this is sort of like my own personal, you know, you go to those life coaches and they tell you what job that you're suited for. I've been going through this thing just to look at different ideas. Mac CRM software. I don't know what that means. Machine learning software. That sounds fascinating. Maid service software. I guess if you have a maid business, mailroom management software, maintenance management software, manufacturing execution software. I don't know what the difference between those two are, but somebody must. Marine software, market research software, marketing analysis software. That actually might be something for us to use. We got the AM Quickie on a bunch of different data servers. And so, you know, we combine them all. I don't know. We got to check that out. Marketing attribution software, marketing automation software, marketing planning software, marketplace software, martial arts software, massage therapy software, you get the idea. I'm not even through the M's yet. Visit Capterra.com/majority for free today to find the tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Capterra.com/majority. It's free, folks. It's free. It aggregates all the reviews for all of these different categories of software. Capterra, Capterra.com/majority. Capterra software selection simplified. All right, let's get into this. This is a big deal on Friday. And if you did not hear this, I don't usually pimp our own content. But what was the name of the video that we did? We clipped it. It was the first like 20 minutes of Friday's show. And I was going through the release that came from in the wake of the testimony from Kurt Volker. Kurt Volker was the special envoy to Ukraine, unpaid position. One of those John McCainites. And via Volker, the committee, the Intel committee, got a little trove of text messages. All that included Volker, I guess. So he must have been CC'd on these, even ones that didn't necessarily involve him, right? And they are between him, the former ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor, and the U.S. ambassador to EU, also a hotelier, friend of Donald Trump's, Gordon Sondland. And they basically are talking about, and there's one or two also, I think, with Andrei Yermak, who is a top advisor to President Zelensky. This is all around the Ukraine call and basically the dynamic of Donald Trump holding back unilaterally money that was earmarked and appropriated by Congress statutorily for Ukraine. He was holding it back, lying as to the reason as to why he was holding it back to the Congress and who was holding it back to the Congress. And then getting on the phone with the Ukrainian president and saying, hey, look, we need to have some reciprocity here. You know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. I want information on, you know, what happened in 2016, if you know what I mean. And also Hunter Biden, can you deliver us something? You should investigate it, if you know what I mean, because it's dirty, so dirty. And these exchanges between Bill Taylor, Gordon Sondland, and Kurt Volker basically outline, I mean, they show without a doubt that, like, the president was holding it back because he wanted this stuff, the deliverable. The deliverables, that's literally the word that they used. Gordon Sondland said on August 9th, 2019, at 5:47 p.m., in fact, 34 seconds past that 5:47, he said, I think POTUS really wants the deliverable. And it goes on and on. And to the point where Bill Taylor, and this is going to be important, says, as I said on the phone, this is on September 9th, 2019, to Gordon Sondland, as I said on the phone, I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with a political campaign. So Gordon Sondland was scheduled to show up and testify to the House Intelligence Committee behind closed doors today. And that's not going to happen. Here's Adam Schiff, chairman of the Intelligence Committee, to tell you why.
The failure to produce this witness, the failure to produce these documents, we consider yet additional strong evidence of obstruction of the constitutional functions of Congress, a co-equal branch of government. There are four issues that we are looking at, at least four issues that we are looking at, all that go to the heart of our national security. And by preventing us from hearing from this witness and obtaining these documents, the President and Secretary of State are taking actions that prevent us from getting the facts needed to protect the nation's security. We are looking into whether the President solicited foreign help in a U.S. presidential election again. We are looking into the issue of whether a meeting that Ukraine desperately sought with the president at the White House was being conditioned on the willingness of Ukraine to investigate this bogus conspiracy theory about 2016 and investigate the Bidens. We're looking at whether Ukraine was given reason to believe that military assistance it desperately needed to fight off the Russians was being withheld until it made commitments to do these political investigations for the president. And we are looking into the question of whether there has been an effort by the president, the secretary of state, and others to cover up this misconduct. Ambassador Sondland is an important witness on each of these subjects, but he is not the only important witness. And we will consider this act today, and we've had members fly in from around the country to hear the ambassador's testimony, as well as the withholding of the ambassador's documents, as well as efforts that may be made to discourage or having the effect of discouraging other State Department witnesses from coming forward and testifying, as they have agreed to be further acts of obstruction of a co-equal branch of government.
This will all be in the articles of impeachment. And make no mistake about it. There's going to be articles of impeachment. They're going to be voted upon. They could be voted upon right now, based upon just the information I have here in this document that just includes a very limited set of text messages. Like I say, only the text messages I think that Kurt Volker had access to. But there are other text messages, says Adam Schiff.
Not only is the Congress being deprived of his testimony, the American people being deprived of his testimony today, but we are also aware that the ambassador has text messages or emails on a personal device, which have been provided to the State Department, although we have requested those from the ambassador, and the State Department is withholding those messages as well. Those messages are also deeply relevant to this investigation and the impeachment inquiry. And I want to just explain for the public the significance of this witness and the significance of the decision, evidently by the Secretary of State and President or both, to withhold this key witness's testimony today.
So the White House has made the calculation that it is better for them to not have Sondland go and testify and give up the entire game. Because look, they have these text messages. And you'll recall, Bill Taylor says, as I said on the phone last night, I think it's insane, crazy, to withhold security assistance for information for a political campaign. Bill Taylor is going to testify. Bill Taylor does not sound like a guy who wants to protect the Trump administration. The reason why he said that in text, that I wanted to do this, that I said that on the phone last night, is the same reason why everyone who says, who recounts what they said on the phone, this is not a soap opera. This is not bad soap opera writing. It is to make it clear that I understand that this is going to be subpoenaed at one point, and I want to make it clear where I stand. And that's why Sondland then responded, even though he had said a month earlier, the POTUS wants the deliverables. There has never been a quid quo pro. I have no idea what you're talking about. Who dis? New phone. I have no idea who you are. Well, Bill Taylor's going to have a different story to tell. But the administration decides we don't put Sondland in there. Better that we will have an indictment for obstruction. Or I should say an article of impeachment for obstruction, then the whole kit and caboodle, because they know they're in trouble on this. But the fact of the matter is there is more readouts from other phone calls in that highly secure safe. And the Democrats should just continue on this path. And anybody who told you 2 months ago that this was going to be damaging for Democrats if they approach impeachment, you should reassess what they know about politics and whether they can, with a clear eye, see what is clearly an impeachable offense. I will remind you, impeachment is a political process. It is not a criminal process. It is a political process. We already know, according to the Office of Legal Counsel, this specific Office of Legal Counsel in the Department of Justice, that a sitting president cannot be criminally indicted because there is already a mechanism in which to deal with him. It is a political mechanism, and it is called impeachment. The standards of impeachment are not the same as a criminal trial. So now we have, and tomorrow I'm going to be talking to Brad Miller on the program and about the dilemma that Democrats have. How do you compel this testimony? How do you compel this testimony? There are two ways. And apparently Adam Schiff, anyways, expressed the desire to pursue both of them. One is you just go ahead with impeachment. All right, excuse me, there's three ways. One is you just go ahead with impeachment. You impeach them. And you pursue a compel them in a criminal court to testify. Sondland, he's not the president. He can be criminally indicted. And if a court orders him to talk and he's in contempt of court, then he can go to jail. And that has a way of focusing the brain, particularly when you're a major hotelier and are used to having nice meals at the EU as an ambassador that has been appointed because you've given Donald Trump so much money.
I mean, jail is a hotel of sorts.
It can be. That's the way you should think about it. Manafort seems fine. And then this, you'll recall that the squad was the first crew of freshman Democrats to come out for impeachment in the strongest fashion. And they pursued it all the way until essentially the frontline Democrats came back from recess in August and said to Nancy Pelosi, my constituents want me to impeach him. And then all of a sudden, the heroes of impeachment became seven national security Democrats who were not members of the squad. Nevertheless, they did another op-ed, these seven national security Democrats, basically writing, if true, and I don't know how much more evidence you need than he withheld these funds. They lied to Congress as to why they, who withheld them. He has no possible reason to withhold them. And the only evidence of what it was is that not even half-assed transcript that we have and these corroborating texts. We don't need anything else. I'm all in favor of getting more of it, but we don't need it. But if true, Trump's actions are impeachable. But this is even more important. They write in the third or fourth graph, if these allegations are true, we believe these actions represent an impeachable offense. We do not arrive at this conclusion lightly, and we call on our colleagues in Congress to consider the use of all congressional authorities available to us, including the power of inherent contempt and impeachment hearings to address these new allegations, find the truth, and protect our national security. Inherent contempt is the ability of Congress to imprison and levy fines. And we are going to head into territory. I mean, I think they've done this, but not in the 20th century. Not in the 21st century either, of course, but not in the 20th century. And we're going to see if they're going to take a guy like Sondland and say, like, we'd like to introduce you to the dungeon that lives below Congress.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Damn.
A guy like Sondland, I don't think, you know, you could slap $2,000 a day on him, and I think he'd be like, I can do it. I can handle that, and Trump will slide me some cash.
Some of those guys pay good money to go to the dungeon.
That's true. But this would be one where they're all alone, and they just get gruel.
You're not the sexy kind.
So we're going to be following this. It's important. And I will also tell you this. So, there are two arguments, right? I mean, people call it the moral thing. I don't think it's, morality, forget about it. It is simply accountability as to ethics in government. And the president has a certain narrow set of parameters. I mean, they're pretty wide. You can get away with a lot of stuff if you're president. And I understand that accountability has not always worked, but this is cumulative. This is cumulative. And look, there's a lot of things in life where you're like, there's a 15% chance that this could happen. I'm going to go for it. I mean, why do I support Bernie Sanders? Whether you think that Bernie Sanders is like marginally more progressive than Elizabeth Warren or hugely more progressive, it doesn't matter. Or there's some people who think that they're the same, whatever. From my perspective, I think he's more progressive than Elizabeth Warren. I don't think either one of them are going to be able to implement the plans as they have presented them. But if there's a 10% chance that they can, I'm going to go with the one who's going to push it further. Just on that 10%. And that's the case with this accountability. You hold Donald Trump to account. That doesn't mean that you're going to be able to hold every president to account coming in the future. You're not going to be able to hold the elite broadly to account. You're not going to be able to hold bankers to account when they rip people off with foreclosures or put down an edict that says 5,000 of their employees end up just coincidentally putting people into fake accounts, et cetera, et cetera. Whether it's cops who are profiling, you need to attempt to try to hold people to account. Because if you completely, in light of obvious ethics breaking, law breaking, I think there's multiple counts of actual law breaking here, not just elections violations, but extortion. Using government, the power of government to extort for own personal gain. I don't know what more basic a premise that you don't want your politicians to do. And that's the argument from like the civic argument, I guess you would say. I don't like to use the word moral. But the political argument is becoming quite clear. And I think it was quite obvious, frankly, before this. But we now have impeachment in just a matter of days. Gone up in by support for the inquiry has risen since July in a ABC Washington Post poll, has risen by 25 points amongst Democrats, 21 points amongst Republicans.
Traitors.
And 20 points amongst Republicans. It is now more than 8 in 10 Democrats endorse the inquiry, as well as 8 in 10 want to get Trump removed from office. Republicans, 3 in 10 now. 3 in 10, 70%. He's got an 85% approval rating amongst Republicans. He did over the summer. So you've moved the needle slightly. That is, like I say, a 20-point bump amongst Republicans.
Wow.
So 3 in 10 support the inquiry. One-fifth say they favor of a so 2 in 10 favor a vote recommending his removal. And among the critical voting bloc of independents, support for the impeachment inquiry hits 57%. 49% of the 49% of independents saying the House should vote to remove him from office. So they want the impeachment inquiry. And we're almost at a majority now where they want him to vote. Yes, impeach. There's a story out of the Times today. They love going back and talking to Trump voters. Well, this time they went back to Erie County in Western Pennsylvania, which in 2012 to Trump, 17-point swing. Now, I would imagine, without knowing Erie County, that you also have a lot of changing demographics there. But even still, 17 points is probably more than one would imagine. And at the very least, they found one guy, Mark Graham, a real estate appraiser, 69, who in mid-September, this is a guy who voted for Obama, called the president's office a joke in September, but he was unwilling to commit to voting Democratic in 2020 as of the September Democratic debate. And he says, as of yesterday, things have changed in the last couple of weeks. More stupidity has come out. So this last week, he hopes Democrats nominate Joe Biden, but he's not particular. I'd vote for the Democratic nominee no matter who it is at this point. And he says, if Mr. Trump gets another 4 years where he's a lame duck, it's going to be like adding gasoline to the fire. So what was that tally in Pennsylvania? Clinton lost by 40,000. Well, now all they need to do is get another 39,998 people. You just switched two votes, essentially. Not one for Trump. Now it's for the Democrat. And the political value of this is not just in terms of the presidential election. The political value is that every single election across the country, that Republican incumbent is going to be forced to make a vote. And if they vote to impeach Donald Trump, the Republicans in their party are going to be extremely angry at them. If they vote to protect Donald Trump, all the normal people are going to be angry with them. And so, and to the extent that this is good for Democrats, it's also good for progressives. It's good for DSA candidates running. Because if they have a better shot of getting in office, they have a better shot of getting into office. If a Republican is standing in their way, they have a better shot of getting into office. And if they can offer the same sort of like partisan perspective on this, but then offer material benefits for people, all the better. This is a good thing. And for those people who are like, well, it's going to stand in the way of legislation being passed. I would say to you, with all due respect, take the needle out of your arm. That's all I would say. Because nothing's getting passed that would have gotten passed in the absence of... Here's just a partial list of what the House Democrats have passed that is languishing in the Senate. Something like 250 bills. For the People Act, the Equality Act, the American Dream of Promise Act, the Paycheck Fairness Act, the Bipartisan Background Checks Act, Enhanced Background Checks Act, Climate Action Now Act, Raise the Wage Act, Federal Civilian Work. I don't know if these bills are any good. Some of them I think are decent. Some of them are half-assed. But it doesn't matter because nothing's getting through the Republican Senate. There's only one way you're going to get something through the Senate. That is to get no Republican senators in Colorado, no Republican senators in Maine, no Republican senators in Arizona, maybe North Carolina, maybe Georgia. That's what it's going to take, bottom line. So anybody who tells you that it's bad politically is foolish. Anybody who tells you it's bad in terms of civics is foolish, in my estimation. I may be wrong.
Do you think it's going to change the minds of Republican voters, or do you think it's more a matter of driving turnout among Democrats?
I think it's more a matter of driving turnout among Democrats. I mean, I think it's quite possible that some Republicans' minds will be changed.
It'll depress turnout, I think.
But it's hard for me to imagine it won't depress turnout. I mean, if you have 3 in 10 who think that he should be impeached, and 2 in 10 who think he should be voted out of office, when over the summer he had over 80, close to 90% approval. At the very least, those people won't show up. And then when they don't show up, not only do they not show up to vote for Donald Trump, they don't show up and they don't vote for Susan Collins. They don't show up and vote for the Republican candidate.
Yeah, every non-vote counts.
Every non-vote counts. And that is the name of this game in this era.
And the way this is shifting, you've brought this up with your reaction shot theory, but it really makes a lot of sense to me that, you know, before Pelosi came out with this, people would, hear about impeachment and then look to like what the authorities are saying, basically.
Of course.
And, oh, she's not even for it. Whether you're even a Republican or a Democrat, you say, well, Pelosi's not for it. There must be good reasons. I'm just going to move on with my day.
What person who only like casually follows politics is going to say, I'm more equipped to tell you that the president should be impeached than the leader of the Democrats? Like, what rational person would say that if they just they just sort of casually look at politics, dip in, dip out? Who would say that? I mean, this is just, you know, I would love if we lived in a world where even a, I don't know, 40% of the population was engaged in politics. 30% of the population was really engaged in politics. Of course I would love it. Our audience would be 3-4 times the size just by just law of averages. But the fact of the matter is it's not. And that cuts both ways, because that's why you only need like 3 million comments when you have a Democratic president to completely reverse things like, I can't even remember the name of it now, net neutrality. That's why you don't really need a tremendous amount of people for any social movement. What you need is a critical mass, but that critical mass does not have to be 51%. It can be like 7% if they're dedicated enough and they're in the right positions. I mean, there's, you know, keep referencing that Wrecked book, but there's a reason why those dumb car makers destroyed their business. It was because they were afraid of what just a handful of workers could do on their supply chain in terms of exercising their power. And that is the...
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah, well, they should be. But the key is to find leverage points and use them. And that's what impeachment is. It is the lever. It also happens to be, I mean, I think inarguably appropriate for this president. Because if it's not, like, when would it be appropriate?
Oh, absolutely. I do find it somewhat depressing, though, that the best case scenario here is that they bring up impeachment proceedings, and we know that the Democrats don't have the votes to remove him from office, so he's going to stay in office. The best case scenario is that Trump still gets away with this.
But there'll be another a bite at this apple when he leaves office, and that'll be criminal proceedings, frankly.
But he still will have gotten to be president.
Well,
and
yeah.
Stayed president.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's true.
And he could win again. He could win a second term.
It's true.
But it's nice to know that that's waiting for him on the other side.
Yeah. And I mean, I think like it's you're still to be impeached is still a form of accountability. You're not removed from office, but it's still a form of accountability. It's you're impeached.
Witch hunt.
You're impeached for the rest of your days. Bill Clinton, believe me, if Bill Clinton was not impeached, there would be a marginal difference in the way that we perceive this guy. There definitely would be, particularly now. But the fact that he was impeached, despite the fact that most people didn't think he should be, it hampers him in some respects. All right, let's just talk briefly about what's going on with Syria, and then we'll go to the fun half. So apparently in August, and I think this, you know, look, there was an understanding, I think, prior to this as well. But August came to the point where the fighting had hit a stage where the United States basically made a deal with the Kurds. The U.S. needed Kurds to face off against the remnants of ISIS fighters, ISIL fighters. But they were afraid to leave their defensive positions on the border with Turkey to do so. So the United States said, we got you. We will have a 5-mile wide safe zone along the border with Turkey in Syria. Americans would patrol alongside Turkish forces The Kurds would dismantle fortifications in those areas that were designed to defend against a possible Turkish incursion. Turkey would also join the American-led air operations against ISIL. There'd still be 1,000 American troops in the region, but it would protect the Kurds in northern Syria and maintain pressure on the Islamic State. Donald Trump announced, apparently nobody knew this was coming, that change of plans, Turkey can go invade, and kill all the Kurds. I mean, he didn't say that many words, but that's basically what it was.
It really read like he wrote it himself.
The one that he wrote himself was he was mad because France and Europe wouldn't take any of the ISIS prisoners that the U.S. has. But more importantly, the Kurds have 40,000 ISIS prisoners. And excuse me, 10,000 ISIS prisoners.
Still a lot. Kurdish,
still a lot. And they basically said, guess what? If we're getting attacked by Turkey, we're letting those guys go. And Erdogan needs to do this, apparently, because he lost that election in Istanbul. His peeps didn't win in the Istanbul local election. He's trying to shore up his domestic political support. There's nothing better, folks, to shore up your domestic support than by engaging in a war with someone outside of your country. And the Kurds.
Yeah, particularly a hated minority.
Exactly. Now, why did Donald Trump do this? Nobody seems to know. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any particular logic. It's possible that he feels like if I bring home those 1,000 U.S. troops, I'll get rewarded at the polls.
Oh, I suggested maybe he wants a Trump Tower in Istanbul the other day. He already has a Trump Tower in Istanbul.
Interesting that you bring that up. Here is an interview from December 1st, 2015, between Steve Bannon, doing the podcast for the Breitbart News Daily, and then candidate Donald Trump. You will notice that at this time, Donald Trump actually sounds somewhat coherent. It's odd. It's going to be a little bit jarring for you. This is before he either lost his mind or was in a position to have someone sit down with a piece of paper in front of him and tell him to read it. Here he is with Steve Bannon talking about that very thing.
We started the show with our live reporters in Turkey, London, Paris, Rome, etc., talking about this fracas right now between Putin and Erdogan. The BBC, we've talked about this 10 days ago on Breitbart and our listeners about Turkey making money off of ISIS oil, that one of the revenue streams, major revenue streams, is oil, as you've talked about. Turkey's right. Been the middleman. Putin now, finally, 9 days after it's up on Breitbart, BBC lead story, Putin saying, hey, we got a problem here. Turkey's the middleman and making plenty of cash off ISIS and has skin in the game, keeping ISIS around. Erdogan immediately goes back and says, hey, you can prove it. I'll step down. If your plan in prosecuting this war as commander in chief of the United States, if you're elected president in prosecuting the war, what do you do with Turkey? Is Turkey a reliable partner? I know they're a NATO ally. Are they a reliable partner?
Well, I also have a little conflict of interest because I have a major, major building in Istanbul, and it's a tremendously successful job. It's called Trump Towers, two towers instead of one, not the usual one. It's two. And I've gotten to know Turkey very well, and they're amazing people. They're incredible people. They have a strong leader. The strong leader is now fighting pretty much with Putin. If you look at what's going on, there's a lot of angst and a lot of anguish going on over there. I think Turkey has been a good partner for the United States, but things are getting very complicated because you have ISIS, you have Assad in Syria where they're fighting ISIS, and we're supposed to be fighting, I guess, both according to the Obama administration, and lots of times that doesn't work out too well. How are you going to fight both? And the people that we're fighting for against Assad are rebels that we have no idea who they are. So we have a very complex set of circumstances. And if you look at Turkey looks like they're on the side of ISIS, more or less, based on the oil.
Now, I don't know how to explain Donald Trump sounding so coherent at that time and now sounding like I don't feel like he could make a phone call like that if his life depended on it. But that be that as it may, he felt he had a pretty severe conflict of interest back in the day.
It's like even when he announces his conflict of interest, it's like he's promoting them.
Right. But here's the thing. We don't know. We don't know if there was a way for Erdogan to promise via Trump Tower 2, here's $60 million. Here's $100 million. Here's gold ingots. I'm just going to drop off next time I'm in town. We'll have them in the back of the Bentley that I get shipped over on some type of cargo plane. We don't know.
Oh, there's a new tax cut if you have two towers? Thank you, President Erdogan.
Exactly.
Maybe he's going to put the next tower in Afrin.
I mean, exactly. You don't know. And we do know that he was willing to hold up $400 million worth of aid, getting phone calls from Ron Johnson. And did we play that yesterday? Did we have that yesterday? We did play it, right? With Chuck Todd, we didn't play it. Oh, let's pull that up. We do know that when he withheld the aid from Ukraine, he had senators calling him. That's why they ultimately released the aid, was because people were calling up going, what's going on? Why? I just, a month ago, we passed the bill to send this money off. And I just found out through the grapevine that you're the one who's holding it up. What's the deal? And I got Sunland telling me that you're holding it up because of something to do with the Bidens? What? Because you think there's some type of like scam that was going on in 2016? Ukrainians were framing the Russians? For what? If Donald Trump did that for $400 million just to validate the story that he was not guilty of something in 2016, or to get dirt on Joe Biden, what do you think he would do for $200 million of cash? Like, do you think he gives one F for a single person, for a single Kurd?
No, he doesn't even care about his own wife.
Yeah, of course. He doesn't recognize that he has a child, for God's sakes.
The son that you had with me.
Get out of here, Kurds.
As this impeachment inquiry goes on, they should be asking for more and more and more. There should be some, I don't know if they can do it on a rolling basis, but every Tuesday should be voting on a new impeachment indictment. And they should keep going for more and more and more. And I would say that as they start to look at this, and I don't think you can call, I don't know if you can call a senator to testify, but I'd like to hear Ron Johnson explain this away. Ron Johnson, there was a story that came out 3 to 4 days ago that Ron Johnson, sometime in late August, called the president because he had talked to the guy Sunland, the guy who was supposed to testify today and didn't, the guy who said, I think the president wants the deliverable on text messages to other people who wanted to know if the president was prepared to have a meeting and to release the funds. So Johnson heard from Sunland that the president's holding up the defense funds because he wanted dirt on Biden. And he calls the president. And then Johnson says, but, because Ron Johnson's not a bright guy. He's just not a bright guy. This is what I've heard from people in Wisconsin. He's just not a bright guy. He must have realized, like, oops, I shouldn't have told everybody that in a Politico story.
Ah, geez.
But President Trump denied it. So there's that. But here he is. And Chuck Todd is just getting incredibly frustrated because, well, I don't know. I don't know why Chuck Todd's getting frustrated. Maybe he just sort of thinks like, this is, come on, seriously? Or maybe he thinks it's, you know, in his best interest, whatever. I'm happy to see it when it does happen.
He vehemently, angrily denied. He said, I'd never do that. So that is the piece of the puzzle I'm here to report today, that unlike the narrative of the press that President Trump wants to dig up dirt on his 2020 opponent, what he wants is an accounting of what happened in 2016. Who set him
up? Pause it for one second. Okay, so Ron Johnson has just said that Sondland told me that he was doing this, but the president denied it. So that's why I'm here. I'm here to deliver the fact that the president denied it. Because he realized, Ron Johnson realized, like, I screwed up. I'm not very bright. I screwed up, but I'm going to try and make it better now. And here I go. I'm going to make it better for the president. I'm going to talk about this bizarre conspiracy theory about 2016.
Think of what happened in 2016. Who set him up? Did things spring from Ukraine? You know, there's a good piece we've got an oversight letter on from Politico in 2017, where let me quote the article. It says, Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump. They did so by disseminating documents implicating a top Trump aide in corruption, suggesting they were investigating the matter. Ukrainian officials also reportedly helped Clinton allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors. There is potential interference.
Pause it. Now, I just want to make it clear. Clinton allies. I don't know who that constitutes. Paul Manafort was involved in some very corrupt stuff, apparently, in Ukraine. And so they did investigations on it. But I also want to remind everybody that no one he's just mentioned was a government, U.S. government official at the time. Not to mention not president.
John Trump and his advisors. There is potential interference in the 2016
campaign.
Let me
ask you this.
That's what Trump wants to get to the bottom of, but the press doesn't want to.
Ambassador,
the people who wrote this article are being pilloried. I'm being called a conspiracy theorist. John Solomon's being called a conspiracy theorist because the press is horribly biased, and Trump and his supporters completely understand that.
I understand that a way to avoid answering a question is to attack us in the press. I'm well aware of that, how it works.
No, I'm trying.
Let me ask you something that Ambassador Volker said. Let me tell you what Ambassador Volker said under oath, and I'm curious if you share this concern. Ambassador Volker said this. I explained that I believe that Mayor Giuliani continues to have a negative view of Ukraine based on assertions of actions that happened in 2016 and that this viewpoint is likely making its way to the president. Were you concerned that Rudy Giuliani's disinformation campaign, sort of Ukrainian propaganda campaign, was negatively influencing the president's views of the current Ukrainian president?
Well, certainly the reports, not only from Rudy Giuliani, but from Ken Vogel out of Politico and John Solomon doing some pretty good investigative reporting. Now the Washington Post is attacking him, undermining him. All that information, we have never got the answers to those questions. Chuck, I want to get to the truth. I'm not here defending the president. I'm not here to denounce him either. What I'm here is telling you my piece of the puzzle here, giving you my honest assessment of what I heard, how the president told me repeatedly in the May 23rd Oval Office visit on the phone on the 31st, the reason he had very legitimate concerns and reservations about Ukraine is first, corruption, generalized, it's endemic, we all know that, and then specifically about what kind of interference
was framed
in the 2016 election.
Wait, this was not the clip that where he went off. There's a point in this where he went off. We don't have it.
Seems pretty lit.
There's a point where he goes off. I don't know where that clip is, but
he's about to pop off.
He goes off big time on him because this story is just a joke. Paul Manafort was not framed. Paul Manafort was not framed. Here, let's pop this one up.
Do you not trust the FBI? You don't trust the CIA?
No,
I'm just very confused here.
Absolutely
you don't trust
not.
Either
after
of
Peter
those
Strzok
agencies.
And Lisa Page?
Okay.
After James Comey,
you believe the FBI and the CIA,
John Brennan?
These government
no, I don't
agencies?
Trust any of these guys in the Obama administration. I don't trust any of them.
You don't trust them now. You trust them now?
No, I didn't trust them back then.
And you don't trust them now?
I do not trust John Brennan. I do not trust.
Do you
Peter
trust the
Strzok,
CIA
Lisa
and
Page,
FBI
James
now?
Comey,
because none of them have
Andrew
come
McCabe.
To any of the conclusions
guys.
You are trying to come to. I'm just curious. Do you trust them now?
Now, who are you talking about?
The CIA and the FBI.
I don't trust Andrew McCabe.
Do you
I don't trust Andrew McCabe. I don't trust James Comey. I don't trust Peter Strzok. I don't trust John Brennan.
Senator, let me ask you this.
I've got a lot of questions that remain unanswered. One of the things that you came on here to do, Chuck.
I just want the truth.
No, you set this thing up. Totally biased. I could never really get into the full narrative. We don't have enough time to go through all the things I can talk about in
terms of, because you came here and chose to bring up something about Lisa. No, you started the piece
with something incredibly biased that I would never be able to get the truth out.
Senator, I don't know why you just came on here to personally attack the press and avoid answering questions about what's happened here.
Because of your setup,
Senator, it's pretty clear. We're only dealing with the facts that we have, not the facts that you wish them to be.
And I can't get the answers. And I can't get the answers. The American people can't get.
Wait, there's another clip that gets even here. I mean, it really is amazing because, you know, and to a certain extent, I'm not mean this just about Chuck Todd, but all of them. For years have allowed Republicans to come on and just outright lie about things. Even like sort of more banal, less controversial things like if we cut taxes, revenues will go up. Stuff that everyone knows is not true. Everyone knows this is not true, but Paul Ryan spent an entire career going on these shows saying that. And nobody questioned them. And this is where it leads, of course. And now, not only does it lead to this, he's just going to go on to Fox and he's going to be able to deliver his message. They've reached that critical mass at Fox where they don't need this show. In fact, he's going to go on to Fox and they're going to play this exchange and it's going to prove his point because they allowed the Republicans to lie for so long.
Oh, they were always going to do that, though. Like, whether the press was going after them or not, they were going to go on and say the same lies.
But the point is now, because of the polarization in the media worlds, that this was not the case 10 years ago. 10, 15 years ago, you needed to launder stuff through Meet the Press, through Fox News to make it to Meet the Press. And now it's going the other direction. You're going to see, like, the media environment 15 years ago was the trick was you get it onto Drudge, you get it onto Fox, then you get it onto Drudge, then it ends up on ABC. And now the goal is not to get it on ABC. They don't need to. They just get it on Fox. They don't even need Drudge anymore. They just get it on Fox. Then you go on NBC or ABC or wherever it is. To have them deny it, which proves it to the people on Fox. They don't need this part of the media anymore.
Only as a punching bag to show off to their base.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's why, in many respects, Chuck Todd is reaping what he sowed and others sowed by allowing Republicans to come on and fabricate things. And now you get this Looney Tune stuff.
General of the Intelligence Committee, Senator. Asking to just confirm, are you investigating those leaks that Peter Strzok talked about in that text?
All right, Senator, I have no idea
So again, that's a setup. It is entirely irrelevant to this point.
Why a Fox News conspiracy propaganda stuff is popping up on here, I have no idea why we're going here.
Senator, this is underlying exactly why President Trump is upset and why his supporters are upset at the news media.
Okay, Chuck, this is not about the media. Senator Johnson, please answer the question that I asked you instead of trying to make Donald Trump feel better here that you're not criticizing
I'm just trying to ask you a simple question of what made you wince.
I'm asking a simple question, General of the Intelligence Committee.
Okay, and what made him wince was in that story when Sondland said he's holding it up. He's holding up the stuff to get this information, and him wincing is what Johnson said he did.
He winced at how appropriate it was.
There you go. I always wince when things are really good.
The news is getting so lit.
It's making me wince. It's so lit. All right, folks, we're gonna head into the fun half. Just a reminder, your support of this program makes it possible. We keep doing these long free shows, and I know that we shouldn't. I see the data. People can't listen to the whole thing. But if you stuck with us this whole time and you have the means to support this program, please do. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. When you do, you get the you support this show and you get it commercial free. And you get extra content. And that's it. That's all we have for you for that. Justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Don't forget to sign up for the AM Quickie. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, majorityreport.fm. And folks, a reminder, Capterra, it's the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business with over 1 million reviews. Anybody who reads all million reviews on Capterra, we will give them a free Majority Report t-shirt. I don't know how we prove that, but a million reviews of products from real software users. You can discover everything you need to make an informed decision for your business. Visit Capterra.com/majority for free today. Find the tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Capterra.com/majority. Capterra, that's Capterra, Capterra.com/majority. Capterra, software selection simplified. Tonight is Tuesday. TMBS should be happening. I believe it will.
As far as I know.
You check it out at 7 p.m. On YouTube or wherever later, wherever your podcasts are served. Jamie, the Antifada.
Oh, we have so much stuff right now.
You're a week away from your show.
Less than a week. I know, it's crazy. So yeah, I guess I'll start with that. This weekend with the Antifada, we have the Goth Socialist Variety Hour, which we are doing with our Goth Socialist sister show, Pod Damn America. Very good show, led by Jake Flores, very funny guy. And it's going to be at Littlefield in Brooklyn this coming Saturday. We're going to have merch available. It's the only place you can get an Antifada t-shirt right now and stickers. We're going to have some really good guests, including Leslie Lee III from Struggle Session, my collaborator on The Vampire Castle, as well as Matt Chrisman and Virgil Texas from Chapo Trap House. They're going to do some little debates that you, the audience, will get to judge. It's just going to be a big guy yelling at a little guy. It's going to be great. And a drag performance, of course, from your friend and mine, Comrade Barbie.
Wow. And Matt.
Yeah, Literary Hangover. Check out my most recent episode on the abolitionist and feminist Lydia Maria Child's Hobbamok. This month is going to be a witch month, so we're going to be doing Crucible at the end of it, and I might do some other stuff too. So,
ooh, witch month.
All right, folks. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
Left is best.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous. You're a little bit upset. You're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude. You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2. 5/8. 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd.
Don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh. Rand Paul.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you.
You fucking liberal elite.
I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, going to take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jab.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good. Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
You think I might be a Nazi?
Agreed.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. I want to just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me...
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.